something that has to do with Satan's sin and the original creation. This comes from U.S. News and World Report, July 30th, 2001. To David from Tiny Cells, to David Anderson, a leading stem cell researcher, his work in the laboratory brims with wonder and promise. But don't ask him to explain the basic science behind it. A lot of research involves adding molecular compounds to the bubbling cauldron of the Petri dish and see what happens. This is the microgram of a human embryo. This is a human embryo. Now, I have taught for the many years I've been here at this church that Satan's sin was to originally try to take the life forms that God placed here and take them and manipulate them into creating a creature that could rule over the earth for him. I based it strictly on the Bible. And next Sunday morning, finally, I'll get to the scriptures to prove to you that the Bible teaches that Satan has learned, and learned actually a long time ago, how to take cells and manipulate them and to produce life forms. Now, up until now, the only thing I had that I could use was the Bible, which is tremendous. And I took the Bible and made a case to show you how somehow, I didn't know how, Satan took the original DNA and the other factors that have to do with the production of life, and he took what God had already created and he manipulated it to produce a whole series of different types of creatures that are quite remarkable in their characteristics, reptilian and now finally warm-blooded creatures. I didn't have proof of how he did it. I didn't know how he did it. I just knew he took what God originally made. I believe the original life forms that God made were perfect. I believe God created them out of nothing. In other words, God spoke and they came into existence. God creates life and he alone creates it. He is the creator of life. There are many things that make God unique, but what really makes him unique is the fact that he creates life. Now, when I say creates life, I mean he initiates it. I mean he suddenly produces it. I don't mean he takes something else and fiddles around with it and gets life out of it. He directly produces it. Well, God created the angels. He created Lucifer. I've already shown you that in previous sequences. And Lucifer wanted to be like God. I showed you that in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Now, how could he be like God? Well, you've got to get down to the very basic element that makes God God and unique. God is the creator of life. He suddenly produces it. Satan couldn't do that. So Satan began to try to figure out how God made this life. And he began to manipulate a whole lot of different things that God had made, little simple one-cell creatures. And he created life. He began not to create it, but to manipulate it and to bring other life from it. God didn't have to bring other life from life. God originally created life. So Satan had a long time to work on it, and he did, and I talked about that last Sunday and spent a great deal of time on it. And now we've come down to where we can understand a little bit of how Satan did it behind the Petri dish magic. This shows you the sequence of the thought embryo, the embryo with the stem cells, how they put in here and they reduplicate cells, and then it shows you these steps, and I don't intend to go through all these steps. But eventually, you take an original stem cell, and you can take it, and you can produce nerve cells, muscle cells, pancreatic cells. In other words, they believe you can produce any part of the body from that single cell structure by, if you will, putting it in contact with this particular cell structure that you want to reproduce. So next Sunday morning, I'm going to get into the actual scriptures to prove to you that Satan manipulated what God originally put here to come up with a race of horrifying creatures. And in the end, a two-legged creature that walked erect that Leakey and others call Australopithecus. Now, the Bible warns us, through Peter, what was going to happen in the last days of the earth. 2 Peter 3, 3-9, and 13 and 14. which we're going to deal with in a few moments. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers saying after their own lust, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. This is what geologists and other scientists call uniformitarianism. And that's exactly what they're saying. They say all things are continuing just like they were from the beginning of creation. There is no God. All this is an evolution and a continuation process. And so they don't believe in God. They certainly don't believe Christ was his son. And they believe that all this just happens as a natural process without a God or without a son of God. Now Peter tells us in verse 5, continuing, we just read 2 Peter 3 and 4. Now we're going to continue with 3 with verses 5 through 14. For this they willingly, in other words, they won't even consider it. They just don't believe that there ever was a God. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. We're going to talk about what that means in the original creation, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water. Now, a lot of people think that's Noah's flood. It's not. It's a flood that occurred between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:3. The original creation is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then Lucifer began to try to form life on his own using the original creation, the embryos that God originally placed here on this planet that Satan was to watch over and be the protector of. So in Genesis 1:2, it suddenly says, and the earth was without form, tohu, and void, bohu. And the world was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God flooded the entire earth at this time, which we'll talk about later. And then in six literal days, he recreated the earth. On the sixth day, he placed man on it. And on the seventh day, he rested. And then from Genesis 1:3 through the rest of the chapter, it's a restored, regenerated, recreated, refurbished earth that God made in six literal days. He says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That was the original creation. There was one landmass. Geologists today call it Pangaea. It began to break up and spread apart after Lucifer's sin. That's what's caused the fall of creation. But the heavens, whereby the world that then was, the first earth that God created, being overflowed with water, perished. All the creatures that Satan had made, all his manipulations that were on land, died. The dinosauric races, all the creatures that he had come up with, died. He had about 5 billion years between Genesis 1:1 and the end of Genesis 1:2 in order to create a life form that could rule over the earth for him. All the angels of heaven that God had created got to watch him. A third of them decided to follow Lucifer. And two-thirds stayed with God. They made a choice, and they're forever sealed in it. So for about 5 billion years, God just stood to one side and let Lucifer show the whole angelic world that he could be God. But Lucifer was never able to generate life out of nothing. He had to have something that was already alive in order to manipulate it and change its form and its shape and its species and other aspects of the different types of life that came to exist on this planet. He could not just create it. Now, God creates life out of nothing. When Jesus was being taken into the city of Jerusalem on his triumphant entry, they were crying out, Hail Messiah! Hail Messiah! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus and said, stop the people from saying this. This is blasphemy. This is wrong. Jesus said, I say unto you, if these men and women had not said this, these very stones would have come to life. And he said that God is able to raise up life from stones, not just from Abraham. The devil never was able to take where there was no life and produce life. He had to find life that already existed, and then he changed it. He says, whereby, and I'll be proving that to you next Sunday morning, and I'll be showing you ample scripture to validate thoroughly what I'm saying. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. When that happened, God caused all of the creatures on dry land to perish. They could not survive in water. But those that already existed in the oceans and seas of the world, they remained. And you find many different types of fossils off the coast of Africa and South America that you will find fish just exactly like those today that have not evolved, and they are the same identical creatures you'll find today, and yet they are billions of years old. He says, but the heavens and the earth which are now, after he destroyed the first earth in Genesis 1-2, by the same word are kept in store, and what's going to happen to them? Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, it may seem very strange to you that God would wait 5 billion years. And certainly it seems strange to me. But the only thing that ought to be considered strange is that when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So how is it that God could wait 5 billion years? Look at what Peter says in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Think of all the history that has passed since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's only been, in God's estimation, about 2 days. Time seems to be completely irrelevant to God. He just doesn't consider it. He considers it, but we live on this planet a certain number of years, and we gauge everything by time. We don't think like God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. They're higher than our thoughts and ways. Now, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. To God it's only been about 2 days since his son was crucified, but is long-suffering to usward. 2,000 years is a long time to us to suffer. It's about like 2 days to the Lord. Why has he been long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? Why did the scribes and Pharisees all end up in hell? Why did they end up in hell? Because they would not repent. When Jesus came, he came to save sinners. Scribes and Pharisees didn't believe they were sinners. So that's why they went to hell. When Jesus came, he wanted repentance. But the scribes and Pharisees didn't think they sinned. And so believing that they were living a life that was acceptable to God, they all went to hell because none of them would repent. Mary Magdalene, the prostitute, she didn't have any problem repenting. All of them that were saved, rough-cut people, publicans, they knew they were sinful. They knew they were sinners. So they repented. But the Pharisees and scribes, they never did know they were sinners. And we've got religious groups right now that come to the Lord and trust in Jesus, supposedly. And then once they've trusted in Jesus, they believe, now that we've trusted in Jesus, he saved us, now it's up to us. We have got to live above sin. We have got to be perfect. But they never did repent. I remember in a lot of these churches, I won't mention them by name, but the world's loaded with them, they keep trying to get people to come down to the aisle here and pray through. Pray through. I remember one of the members of the church that was here for a long time had a daughter in one of these churches. And she would tell this member, she would say, Dad, last night, I prayed through. He said, what was it you prayed through? And she never could tell him. A lot of these churches, they claim that repentance is coming down here and dropping down on your knees and just crying out to God. And a lot of them now teach that when you do this, you get the gift of tongues. So they come down there thinking they have the ability to pray through, and they're going to receive a gift from God for it. And psychosomatic processes within them causes them to come up with a bunch of gibberish. But they never do come repenting of their sins. And if you don't repent of your sins, you're lost. The reason I'm saved is I realized I was a rotten, ungodly sinner. Have I changed? God's changed my inward man. God saved my soul and gave me a new spirit. But my outer man is still sinful. And I have to daily ask for forgiveness of my sins. They don't do that in these other churches that I'm talking about. Why? They don't have any sins to confess. They do not have any sins to confess. You say, I can't believe that. You know why you can't believe it? Because you know what you are, and you know who you are, and you know why you are. And you can't understand how anybody could possibly think they could live above sin. To you, it's impossible. But to them, they can't understand what you're talking about, because they've never been able to face what they really are. You've got to realize what you are before you can have a Savior. You've got to realize you need a Savior. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. How can you be found in peace, without spot, and blameless? Here's how. Get saved. Be obedient to the Lord. Get in one of his churches. Confess your sins daily. Be faithful to the Lord's body, which is the local church. You'll still be a sinner in the flesh, but you'll find peace with God. You won't have a spot or blemish on you as far as not obeying God. And you'll be blameless before God because you have done what he directed. I cannot live above sin, but I was capable of being saved by the power of God. I was capable of submitting to God's will to be baptized. And I'm capable of being faithful in his church. So that's what it means without spot and blemish. It doesn't mean that you don't ever sin. As far as God's concerned, there is no blemish or spot on your soul that could send you to hell. So you have the original creation. That's one world. It was destroyed by a flood. Then it was restored in six days by God. And on the seventh day, he rested. We're now living on this present day earth. The earth that then was being overflowed with water perished. And we're still living here. Now, when Jesus comes to end the tribulation period, we'll go into a millennial reign. That's the earth you see here. Then the earth, at the end of the millennial reign, 1,000 years later, is going to be renovated by fire. And this is a kind of fire that I don't believe you and I are familiar with. It's a pure latent energy type of thing that's going to burn the entire earth to a crisp. Then God is going to make a new earth and a new heaven. And that is the final earth and the final heaven. Now, it works something like this. Second Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? This was the original earth that he created. It was in the water and standing out of the water. It was called Pangaea. You didn't have the North American continent, the South American continent, the Eurasian continent, Europe. You didn't have Australia. You didn't have Antarctica. It was all one single landmass on the face of the earth. It was called by geologists Pangaea. It had no cracks. It had no imperfections in it. It was in the water and standing out of the water. And it was over this original creation that God placed Lucifer. And it was in this original creation that God placed these small one-cell life forms that he himself created from just bringing it from himself, life. God is life. And the life that he gives comes from himself. Satan doesn't have any life in himself to give, because the only life he ever received was the original life that he got from God. And there's a distinctive difference in creating life from yourself, which only God can do, and manipulating then what somebody else has already given life. There's a big difference. Now, notice what he says in verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing in the water, standing out of the water and in the water. That was this creation. It was in the water, and it was standing out of the water. Now let's take a look at what happened next. Now we're going to go to Genesis 1, 2. Okay, we started off in Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's this one right here, Pangaea, standing out of the water and in the water. For this they willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In 2 Peter 3 and 5, these two are synonymous. That is the original creation. Now all of a sudden we go to Genesis 1, 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's what you see here on the left. Notice it begins to break up. This was breakup was caused by Satan's sin. When Satan first tried to take God's life forms and bring other life forms from them according to his making, not God's making, but manipulating what God had put here, he created a whole race of all sorts of different horrific creatures. We call them Tyrannosaurus Rex. We have many different names for them. And down through 5 billion years, he tried to create life from what was already here. He manipulated it into some heinous forms, which we'll take a look at later. But all you see on this diagram is the earth beginning to break apart, the tectonic plates beginning to spread. I believe this happened about 150 million years ago. It began to break apart. This is what Genesis 1-2 is about. And the earth was without form. The form here was a single form back in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But all of a sudden it began to break apart. It became tohu, a horrifying, unbelievable devastation of chaos and volcanic eruptions breaking up along these tectonic plate boundaries, all hell breaking loose upon the earth. Now notice what it says next. And void, same thing, bohu, it's the same basic terrifying description of a planet torn asunder. Now notice what he says happened. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. God gave Lucifer, Satan, 5 billion years to come up with a life form. He couldn't do it. To rule over the earth for him. What was the problem with all of the forms of life that Satan created, including the follower, including what we call Australopithecus, the hairy creature that walked erect? What was the problem? He could not breathe his own soul, his own life into them. He could not take of himself, of his life, and put it in them. They had no soul. What they had was just a creation, like an animal, and Satan made it. But Satan could not transfer what he had in him over to them. Only God can do that. Now notice what he says in 2 Peter 3 and 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's not talking about the flood of Noah. It's talking about the end of this age when darkness comes upon the face of the deep. The earth became this way, and these tectonic plates spread apart, and Satan kept experimenting with life forms. And finally, after he had had about 5 billion years to come up with a life form, this is what God did. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's right here. Now, take a look at what it says next, going back to Genesis chapter 1 and the last part of verse 2. The first part of verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. There were land masses. There were dinosauric creatures. There was a cloud shield around it. It was a time of life that you can see in the fossil record and the rocks today. But then notice the last part of Genesis 1, 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When God moved upon the face of the waters, God broke up this, that landmass was already broken up. And whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. 2 Peter 3, 6. 2 Peter 3, 6. And Genesis 1, the last part of verse 2, shows you what happened. God, again, flooded the entire earth. In other words, no life forms lived except those that were already found in the oceans and seas of the world. The dinosaurs, whatever creatures he made, Australopithecus, all of these things that had no soul, that Satan created, which he could not transfer his own spirit into, all of these things perished and died on the land. Then God began a recreation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the day of judgment and perdition, destruction of ungodly men. That's the present earth as we know it today. It's spread apart back here in the beginning of Genesis 1-2. It was flooded in the last part of Genesis 1-2. And this is the earth as you see it today, with the continents having spread apart, and it's the earth that we live on. Now, in Genesis 1-3, God began a new creation. He caused the waters to pass off the land, and this is what you saw after he did it. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we've had the present day earth ever since. Now notice what he says in 2 Peter 3 and 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So God's been doing a lot of things for a long time. And when I show you next Sunday, Lord willing, about the actual scriptures in the Bible that show this, we have had an original earth in Genesis 1-1. Then when creation fell, Lucifer began to manipulate the simple life cells that God had originally placed here. And he tried to come up with a creature that could rule over the earth for him. And in so doing, he went through a whole series of manipulations and mutations of the original cell form life that were here. In Genesis 1-2, you have the beginning of Satan's activity. Lasts for about 5 billion years. You have what Genesis 1-2 calls the earth's water baptism. He flooded it with water. And what's left is the present earth that God recreated, refurbished, regenerated from Genesis 1-3 to Genesis 2-7. We'll be talking more and more about that. And next week, I'll be talking about how Satan did it. This is one of the things that I did not know. I knew the Bible taught that Satan had the ability to do it. I know the Bible taught that Satan did it, and I'm going to show you living examples of it and prove it to you from the Bible. But how he did it, I did not know until they came up with DNA, different chromosomal and enzyme structures on them. Also, when they came up with various stem cell embryos. And as I began to look at this, I said, that's the way he did it. I didn't know how he did it, but I knew from the Bible that he did, and I've taught that since I've been here. And so, Lord willing, next Sunday, I will show you what I believe Satan did and how I believe he did it. And so until next Sunday, we'll shut her down.